The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the testimony of Jesus, the life that I express now, the qualities of the underdeveloped wonder of Him in me, whatever my place of abiding in Him is, it enables me to be a prophetic expression of the new world that's coming, wherein dwells righteousness. So He is developing us. He is calling us and preparing us for the new Jerusalem. And you read in Hebrews 12 what that new Jerusalem is comprised of. And so we are shaped by the reality of our faith, not our beliefs. Oh yeah, God's coming and the earth's going to be changed. If that doesn't have an impact on the way we walk, then it's of no value. And the eternal aspects of faith bring into our nature and into our lives an aspect that allows us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might reveal the magnificence of Him who is to come. And so the press of His Spirit into the now of our life is the workings of faith. If there is no pressing within us to continue to grow, to continue to develop, then we need to be very concerned about the faith in which we live. And phrase in Peter, the last verse that I talked about here, where it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him." And that, when I read that this morning, it just made me think of Noah. It says, in the days of Noah, God had determined to destroy the earth as it was. And it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And one of the things we were talking about last night with this guy that visited us was the word declares that God is, it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those. And we need to comprehend that God is looking. He's looking for people that will become vehicles of His revelation. And I think I mentioned it before, but there was a mighty man of God that passed away not all that long ago, in my terms and Jim's terms. He had spent several years visiting Smith Wigglesworth, and he had to leave because World War II was breaking out. So his last visit with Smith Wigglesworth, Smith laid his hands on him and prayed with great weeping that the graces that were on him would find expression in this young man at that time. And anyway, as he walked with God, this guy was in the Philippines building a church, and they had a young girl that was in jail and being wounded by demonic spirits, and it was televised on TV. It was such a sensation that the whole nation was gripped by everyday news accounts of television cameras seeing this phenomenon happening to this young girl. And God spoke to this man, said, "I want you to go deal with it." And the guy said, "I'm too busy. I'm building this church. I don't understand that, but that's a scary aspect of all of us in our walk with God. But anyway, a week later, God came back to this man and said, I need you to deal with it. And the man said, get someone else. And God spoke to him. And this is what hit me so hard. God spoke to him and said, I don't have anyone else. I don't have anyone else with the capacity of faith to deal with this entity. And so the man went down and dealt with it on nationwide TV, and over 100,000 people came to the Lord. And the thing that struck me so deep in my own heart was the fact that God said, I don't have another man. He's looking. His eyes are scanning the earth, looking for those upon whom he can show and through whom he can show his strength. And that is the heart of God. He has relegated his power, his character, and the shining forth of himself. He has relegated all of that to the people of God. So Paul says in Corinthians, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If my people fail in their expression of God, God says it's the salvation is hid from those that are lost. It's the lost that don't see him. It's the lost that need to see, more importantly, need to see the life of the Son in us. And so we are at a critical time, and that's why Peter is addressing this. In the last days, as we go on here, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God says, there's a man through whom I can move. And it says Noah was righteous in his generation. So in this, it's in our comprehending of this, and in Peter feeling such the burden of the Lord in 1st and 2nd Peter that he is constantly throughout his two epistles pressing us to comprehend that the end of this dispensation is upon us. And because of our seeing of that internally, we are moved by faith. Faith is the mover of men. Faith is the only power that moves men and women to express him in the earth. And whatever that expression is, that's where this adventure comes, is what my expression is not, I mean, we're all, I mean, you just look at creation and you go, but that faith presses us to become the expression that he has called us to. And so in that, the verse that really hit, the three verses that really hit me hard today, and I'm trying to be quick here as possible, but in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 7, 4 verse 7, Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye sober and watch unto prayer. So, okay, I'm sure all of us in some extent or another are feeling the need to be sober, to not give ourselves over to just entertainment and the frivolities of this world. But that soberness brings us to the place where we recognize our essential need of prayer. And prayer isn't, the prayer that he's talking about here isn't asking God for things. The prayer he's talking about is communion with God. It's in our communion with him that the fire that is in him fills our own hearts. And like Jude, it says in the book of Jude there, but beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. Build yourselves up in the love of God. And there is a context that we can't stay alive in God. We can hold our beliefs, we can hold all our nice teachings, but it's in the context of our communion with Him that the fire that burns in Him, we feel that fire because of relationship. And as we draw near, I mean, the Word says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So there are places where we recognize our great need for Him to keep us alive in this hour of tremendous obscurity, and this hour where Jesus said the thing that would characterize this hour is the love of many shall grow cold. That's Jesus prophetically speaking of the day in which we live. Many, in many of His own, the love of God is going to grow cold. His presence becomes distant and we lose the intensity of it all. So Peter follows this up, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And then Peter's very next verse, this is critical. This is how we know that we are alive in God. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. And I looked up that word fervent in the Greek. And it means, I mean, the initial thing is it means intense. It means a intensity of spirit. But the secondary and meaning is to be stretched, to be reaching out. So this love that ought to characterize us, because we are sober and we're watching unto prayer, it produces in us a love that stretches us beyond our comfort level to express that love amongst ourselves and to be occupied with a love that stretches us and causes us to reach out to others. Like it says in Hebrews, which I think is the word of the Lord for us in this day, is, I'll read it again. I share on it often. Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 26. Let us hold fast the confession of the hope unyielding. For He who has promised is faithful. And because of that, let us consider one another to incitement of love and of good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting, so much more so as you see the day approaching. For if we are willfully, this is the literal translation of the Greek. For if we are willfully, that means present tense, sinning after receiving the full knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. And so this assembly is characterized. This assembly is characterized by exhorting one another unto love and good works. People can meet, and I think that's the secret of this true assembly in the Spirit, is there is an exhorting of one another unto love and good works. I mean, God's people gather all over North America, but the assembly that is taking place, there's very little exhortation. There's very little pressing of one another to fulfill the call of God in each other's lives. And so Peter, let me go to that, because 1 Peter 4:9, I got to get to it here. 1 Peter 4:9. I want to list, kind of keep in the context of this. But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be sober. This is King James. Watch unto prayer. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity will cover a multitude of sins. And that's a different, Lord willing, we'll get into that. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And then listen to what Peter is exhorting here. As every man hath received the gift. So this assembling together, this where we, the assembly together is the fruit of a people who are in prayer and are sober-minded because of what they see is coming. They're sober-minded means we're doing transactions with God. We are brought to the place of comprehending the enormity of what's about to break and our incredible need to develop in all the character of Christ that we may stand in the evil day having done all. Well, you can't stand if we haven't done all that God has put on our hearts to do. It's in the doing that we become. So we look at Noah having done all. When he finished the ark was his salvation. Having done all, stand. So Noah faced his day because he did according to the will of God in him. And that's where each of us, as we see the day approaching, it causes us to put our priorities in the right place. And so as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another. So this true assembly brings forth a inherent need within each of us to discover the gift of God, discover the ministration that he has called us to, and to begin to be functionary expressions of his life. So that's probably not even a word. And affirm that. So as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. And we live in a day where men go, well, that's my ministry. That's no, the ministration is God's and you are a steward of it. And so as he gives that gift to you freely without merit, without, like Tim, I thought it was a word from the Lord, what Tim Barron shared this morning. We come to God like Ruth. We got nothing. We got nothing to offer. We don't bring anything to the table. And in our coming to him, he gives us a gift. And it's the gift that we are to be faithful to. And that gift is given with him having an expectation of return. And it's never our gift. We are stewards of it. We are subservient to the gift that is in us. We recognize that the divine enablements of God wrapped up in the spiritual giftings of his Spirit are not our ability. They are beyond our capacity to hold in ourselves. But that gift requires our faithfulness to it, regardless of what the people around us are doing. Doesn't matter. And so we remain faithful because the gift is to bring honor to the giver. And whether people receive us or not is not the issue. The issue is, are we faithful to God in the gift that he has given? It's in our exercising of it that these things develop. So it says in the New Covenant, exercise yourself unto godliness. Bodily exercise profits little. I mean, the word declares that there is some profit going out for a jog or whatever. It's a temporal thing, but it's good. But the real earnestness of the Spirit of God is that you exercise yourself unto godliness. You exercise yourself that the gift that is in you, you become more sensitive to it. You become more confident in it. You become very, very powerful in your expression. And all the gifts of God's begin in a little hit and a little miss, and it's like a child walking. So it's as we walk in what he has given that we grow into what he has given. And that is to characterize our assembly together. And so I was so encouraged with Tim sharing what he shared this morning, because it's part and parcel of what God is saying. So anyway, the context of all this is if we truly see what's coming. And so like last time we got together, we talked about the four beasts arising. If we truly see these four beasts arising, they're arising, especially the last beast that's arising. It's arising whether we want it to or not, because God is determined to bring it to judgment. But it's in our seeing of that. It says, by faith, Noah was moved with fear to the building of the ark. His faith realized the enormity of what's coming and impelled him to the work of obedience. And so it is with us. We can, a lot of Christians stick their head in the sand and they go, oh, when it comes, I'll just trust God for the grace to stand. Well, no, it's today, if you will hear his voice, that we are influenced by his faith moving in us. Noah didn't just, the rain started coming and he popped into a boat that magically appeared. He built the boat. There was a unction of the Spirit of God in him that produced the working out of faith. The people who say, oh, I'll just wait until it happens and then bang. Well, no, that isn't going to accomplish anything. The true people of God are moved by faith of things not yet fully seen. And that is the context which we get together and we minister that, hey, brother, keep moving in the love and the works of God through you, because there is something coming. So it begins to characterize us as a people. And we begin to step out and share the things that we've gleaned in the week with one another, because it is of necessary importance that we are stewards of the grace that God has given us to whatever that gift is.